Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yud Amud Aleph. We're in the middle of the sugya where the Gemara keeps challenging the positions of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, mostly because of the first Mishnah in the Masechta, where we find the opinions of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel reversed from their normal course, which is that Beit Hillel is the Chumrah and Beit Shammai is the Kula. And what we keep seeing is that there are other Mishnayot where the positions seem to be reversed, where Beit Hillel is the Kula, saying that they're is because of Simchat Yom Tov, some dispensation to do something. Whereas Beit Shammai is the Chumrah, which is the opposite of HaShochet Chayav Of, by the case of Kisui Adam, where Beit Shammai permits you to shech the animal and to do Kisui Adam, whereas Beit Hillel does not. The Gemara says, if you want to ask a question, Likasha Akasha, this is the question you should ask. Beit Shammai Omrim, Einot Limet Eli, Lekatsev, Alav, Basar. You're not allowed to take the Eli. Eli is like a thick board, very heavy, thick board, cutting board, on which you chop up the meat. You cut up the meat. So Beit Shammai says that you can't carry the Eli because it's a kli, shemalachto liyisur. It's generally used for things that are asur, and therefore we won't permit it to be taken or to utilized on Yom Tov. Or Beit Hillel, matirin. On the other hand, Beit Hillel says it's for tzorach gufo. Tzorach gufo means that you're going to utilize the Eli for something that is mutar on Yom Tov, and therefore it's mutar. So Alma Agave Simchat Yom Tov, Beit Shammai Duchumra, Beit Hillel Lugula. So here you have again, Simchat Yom Tov as being a factor, and Beit Shammai says no, Beit Hillel says yes. Verimini. And they ask from our Mishnah again, the first Mishnah in the Masechta, Shochet Chayav Of, Beit Shammai Omrim, Bechulei. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan gives the same answer he's been given until now, which is Mukhlefet Hashita. You have to switch around the positions. Rashi says, flip the positions in the Mishnah that we just brought, the Mishnah that's going to come up on tomorrow's daf, versus the Rabbeinu Tam, which says, flip the first Mishnah in the Masechta, Mimai. Where it says, why do you have to do that? Dilma Lohi. Maybe the two are not comparable. Adkan lo kamri Beit Shammai hotam elo dehechadika deker na'utz. The only case where Beit Shammai says that's the case is where you already have the spade in the ground, and you've taken away the problem of mukse because you have a spade inserted in the ground, and that shows that you intend to use that dirt the next day. In our case here, where you haven't done anything, the board is still there, you haven't changed the status of the board, lo. In that case, we would say, no, you cannot utilize it. Inami, from Beit Hillel's perspective. Adkan lo gamri Beit Hillel hocha ela de'ika torat kli alav. Over here, we're dealing with something that has a shame kli on it. Now, this was very important. I discussed this with regards to the daf on Monday. When you have a shame kli on something, it might be very different than when you don't have a shame kli on something, especially in the world of mukseh. In the world of mukseh, if you can transform something into not mukseh, then if it's a kli, we don't worry about what you're using it for or what the utility is because it is a kli. Since it is a kli and you have some purpose for it on Yom Tov, then you've taken away the shame mukseh from it. On the other hand, buy objects like dirt where inherently they don't have any utility and then you decide you want to use it for something, then it only has utility for that item. It doesn't just gain broad utility. And that's why the Gemara said that by a case of vadai, you have in mind for it. By a case of safek, you don't have in mind for it. Because when you have in mind to utilize this item, that is what transforms it into an object of utility. That's what transforms it into something that is no longer mukseh, but only for that item, because it's not something that has broad usage. So when you designate stones, dirt, things that are otherwise mukseh because inherently they're not useful, then it has limited impact in terms of your preparation. So that's what Beit Hillel says here. The reason that I'm allowing to use this cutting board is because the Ika Torat Kli Alav, there is a Torat Kli on it. So once you have a Torat Kli, it's much easier than to find the dispensations to utilize it. So Tzorach Gufo will be a reason to, even though it's a Kli Shem Lachto Lisur generally, but since you need to use it, then there's a reason to allow you to move it because it's already a Kli. Of a Hotam, lo. But over there by the dirt, there's no reason to believe that, first of all, it was prepared. Even if you say that we got rid of the mukseh problem, you have additional issues. You're talking about the problem of gzeirah of tisha, the problem of gzeirah of chafira. There are all sorts of other issues that are around or surround the dirt, aside from just the fact that it's mukseh or the fact that you put a deker na'utz, you put a spade into the ground. Eliyikasha akasha. You want to speak about a problem in terms of the position of Beit Shammai Beit Hillel? Let me bring you another Mishnah. Right, we're bringing all the Mishnayot in the Masechta. Again, it's all vis-a-vis the first Mishnah, which seems to have opinions of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel reversed. And that would bring you almost every Mishnah in the Masechta, which is, Beit Shammai Omrim, Einot Nimi Taor Lifnei Dorsan. After you've shechted the animal on Yom Tov, and you have flayed it, so you have the skin off the animal, you cannot put that in front of people to trample it. That is the beginning of the process of being ma'abed. The or is working the skins in order to soften them so that they're useful as leather. So you're not allowed to do that. Velo yagbienu elim ken yeshalav kezayit basar. And you're not even allowed to move it unless it has flesh on it. Because, of course, if there's flesh on it, then it becomes a handle, a vehicle for moving the flesh, and then it would be mutar. But the skin itself, independently, has no use on Yom Tov. Therefore, it's moksa. Ubeit Hillel matirim. On the other hand, Beit Hillel says mutar. The assumption being, almo, gabi simchat Yom Tov, Beit Shammai l'chumra, Beit Hillel l'kula. Assumption being that the reason that Beit Hillel is matir is because if we don't allow you to take care of the skin, you won't shech the animal. And then you'll be monea misimchat Yom Tov. Because if you have this valuable item, the skin, and you shecht it on Yom Tov, and then you can't take care of the skin, you're not going to shecht it on Yom Tov because you have a problem. You're going to lose the skins by not doing this on Yom Tov. So a person will not do it. So we allow you to take care of the skins, basically, matirim sofo mishum tchilato. We allow you in the end to take care of that in order to get you to shecht the animal on Yom Tov. For a mini, and again, we ask from our first Mishnah in the Masechta, Shochet Chayav Ha'opi Yom Tov V'chulei. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Rabbi Yochanan's answer is Mukhlefet Hashita. Flip the positions in the Mishnayot, whether it's this Mishnah or the first Mishnah, Machloket Rashi Mbeinu Tam. Bimai. Again, the Gemara says, how do you know that you have to do that? Dilma Lohi. Maybe the cases are not comparable. Adkan Lo Kamir Beit Shammai Hatam Aleichah Dika Dekan Ha'utz. Again, once there by the first Mishnah, he has a spade in the ground, so there's no moksa over here. Over here, in our case, where there's nothing prepared ahead of time, lo. Over here, the skin only appears on Yom Tov itself. There's no way that you could claim that you had it in mind, or that you prepared it. The animal was alive before Yom Tov, so that's clearly not the case. You can't designate something as not being moksa before it becomes the object that you want. So until the skin's off the animal, there's nothing to talk about. And once the skin's off the animal, it's something new. And there's no utility for it on Yom Tov itself. So it clearly muksa without any preparation. Inami, arkan lo kamar beit hillel hachayel dechazin lemizga ilavei. It's different because they could use it as a throw. You could sit on it. Even before it's worked and the leather is softened to the point where maybe you'd make a shoe out of it. You would do something else with it. Even in its original state, the skins are still valuable to sit on. They used to sit on the ground, as Rashi says. They sat on their knees. They laid on the ground. So having a quote-unquote carpet there would be useful. So even right up front, before you work it, before you take care of it, you could get on this carpet and use it even on Yom Tov itself. Of a hot lo. But for the case of the dirt, that's not the case. There's no usage or utility of dirt on Yom Tov itself, or the problem, again, is not muksa. The problem is ketisha, gezerish mishum ketisha, gezerish mishum chafira, whatever the problem is, but they're not cured instantly as it is by the case of the skin. Helei kasha, hakasha. Right, next. Mishnah. It says, Beit Shammai Omrim, emisalkim et atrisim biyom tov. Now let it take off the shutters on Yom Tov. Beit Hillel matirin, aflach zir. Beit Hillel says you can take them off and you can put it back on. Now the trisim, as Rashi describes over here, is something we also saw in Shabbat, which is the stores have these shutters in front of them. They're used to open and close the stores. And when they open them up, they take out the shutters and then they use those as tables for their wares. So Beit Shammai says you can't open those up on Yom Tov whatsoever. Beit Hillel says not only can you open them up, you can also put them back after you've taken them out. Rashi says something interesting over here. He says, Yom Tov mutar. You'll have to purchase items from a storekeeper who is familiar with him. As long as they don't mention pricing and cost. So you can basically go into this individual. Say he's a spice seller and he needs spices on Yom Tov. You can go in there and take a bunch of spices. As long as they don't discuss price or any monetary issues, that's fine. And then after Yom Tov or post Yom Tov, the storekeeper can come to him and say, listen, you owe me this, this, and this for what you took out of the store. So you're allowed to do that as long as you don't make it into a transactional type of situation. Simply, it's almost like you're borrowing it from the storekeeper. In that situation, that is permitted. So that's why maybe these storekeepers might be opening up their stores or storefronts, is because people might need what's inside of them, and they're not doing it as business, more like they're lending it as friends, and then they're paid back afterwards. Yeah. Beit Hillel says not only can you take it off, you can put it back, because if we don't allow him to put it back, it's not going to take it off in the first place. So Alma Gabi Simcha Diomto, Beit Shammai Dokumra, Beit Hillel, the Kula. Again, the standard positions of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Bermini, Hashokhet Chayavo, Piyomto, Kula. Again, ask from the first Mishnah. Bishlama, so here the Gemara doesn't go into a question mode right away and say Muklefta Shita, but rather, Bishlama, Beit Shammai Lokasha. Beit Shammai, we can distinguish here, because Hotom Deika Dekar Nautz, Akaleka Dekar Nautz. There, you have gotten rid of the problem of Mukse. Over here, there is no Dekar Nautz to speak about, and that's not the reason that we worry about it here, because it's not even a Mukse problem, it's a problem of Binyan Bekalim. And Beit Shammai believes that there is Stira and Binyan Bekalim. And since there is Stira Binyan Mekalim, even if you had a Dekar Nautz, it wouldn't help you, because the problem is not Mukse. The problem is, it looks like you're building or putting something together. A Beit Hillel Kasho. What about Beit Hillel? How are you going to describe or differentiate their positions? Rabbi Yochanan Mukhlefet HaShita. Again, it must be that their positions are reversed. Or Dilma Lohi, maybe not. That Adkan Lo Gamrei Beit Hillel Halchal Mishum De'ein Binyan Bekalim means Stira Bekalim. According to Beit Hillel, there's no problem here. It's not an issue of Mukse, it's simply a problem of Binyan and Stira and Kalim. And here, they don't think there is Binyan and Stira and Kalim. That's why they allow you to take the shutter off and put it back on. By our case in the first Mishnah, it has nothing to do with Binyan and Stira and Kalim. It has to do with Mukse. And over there, they think there's a problem Mukse, or even if you don't think there's a problem Mukse, there are other issues. Again, that we've mentioned before, Gzeira Mishum Ketisha, Gzeira Mishum Chafira, all the other issues that we mentioned over there, those all exist. Over here, there's a simple issue of Binyan and Stira Kelim, and they believe Ein Binyan V'Stira B'Kelim. And we saw back in the Gemara and Shabbat that Tosafot makes a differentiation within Binyan, Stira, and Kelim to what is the extent of the Binyan and Stira and Kelim. And when we say Ein Binyan and Stira B'Kelim, it's like a situation like this, where you have an existing structure, and you're pulling something out, putting it back. But if you completely destroy a kli, or you completely create a kli, there Tosafot believed that there was binyan and stira kelim, even according to one who holds ein binyan and stira bekelim. It's not a blanket heter of ein binyan and stira bekelim in its extreme forms, where it's either complete destruction of the kli or a complete construction of the kli. There is binyan stira kelim, even according to this opinion. That's how Tosafot explains it in the Gemara and Shabbat. All right, next Mishnah. This is a Mishnah that we quoted yesterday because it's one of the Mishnayot that we brought as a stira to the first Mishnah, which is Beit Shammai Omrim Lo Yito Elohim Kein Ni'ana Mi Ba'od Yom. You're not allowed to take one of the birds from the dovecote unless you picked it up the day before. Yitelel Omrim Omeid Vomer. You can stand down below and say that one, that one, that one, and that's sufficient. So Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami Machloket Bibrecha Rishona. Machloket is about the first pair of birds that are born. Here, the assumption is that the birds lay pairs. Each time they have eggs or they lay eggs, they have pairs. There's a male and a female. And their productive season runs from Nisan until Tevet. They take off the winter. They take off between Tukufat Tevet until Tukufat Nisan. Basically, they take off between this mid-December until mid-March. So that period, they're not laying eggs, and then they lay eggs. So the question is regarding that first pair that are born. Beit Shammai Savri, Gazinrin Dimlei Atilim Luche. In that first pair, we're afraid that he's going to change his mind after the fact. And then it'll be Tiltol Shelo Letzorech. Because he'll pick them up, and then it'll be Chasalehem, and he'll leave them there. And he'll be picking up things that are mukse because he doesn't plan on utilizing them. So what does he do? If he picks them up on Erev Yom Tov and handles them already on Erev Yom Tov, then he'll make his decision. If he's already handled them, he'll say yes, no, and then the decision will be made beforehand. We do a little sabri, a little gazrin, and we don't worry about that. Aval bebrecha shnia, divrei akol, ba'omeid ba'omer, zib zeh ani notel, sagya. Then everybody agrees that simply identifying them is enough. Even Beit Shammai agrees. So the reason being, which Rashi explains here, is that what we call tzavta de'imo. That the first pair, they leave as company for the mother. So that the mother has children that stay around. The first brecha, many times they'll leave in order to keep the mother happy. And then the subsequent children or eggs that she hatches, they'll take. So that brecha rishona is where we have this safek, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, about whether we're gozer because of our fear that he will relent on having taken them. That's where we have a machloket. But by the time you get to the second pair, everybody agrees that just identifying them is enough because there's no reason for him to back out of his position or say that I'm not going to utilize them afterwards.
Why doesn't he want to utilize them?
Because they're a company for the mother. So come on Yom Tov and he'll pick them up and say, you know what, I got to leave these for the mother. According to Beit Hillel, why does he have to identify specifically the birds that he's going to take? Just say, I'm going to take from this dovecote tomorrow. What do you want to suggest? That Beit Hillel does not subscribe to Breira, which means that you can retroactively figure out which birds you were speaking about. Say, I'm going to take my birds from this dovecote. The next day when you take those birds, you know which birds you meant. So maybe Beit Hillel does not subscribe to that retroactive ability to identify what you were speaking about. That's none. We have a Mishnah that indicates they do think that, which is Hamet Babayit. You have a corpse inside of the house. Velo Ptachim Harbei. You have many exits from the house. Kulan Tmeim. All of those exits are Tmei. The problem being that the mate is inside the house, it's under a roof. We know that Oel HaMeit is Mitamei, anything under the same roof as the mate. When it comes to the doorways are already a separate roof because they are not under the roof of the house. They have their own frame and door frame. So technically, if you're under the door frame, you're not under the same roof as the mate. But the Chazal were gozer that all of the doorways are tamei, or any object that's found in those doorways is tamei, because of the fear that you might take the mate out one of those doorways. If you do take out the mate one of those doorways, then really that doorway is tamei, and anything under the doorway is ma'ahil on the object there and the mate, and it would be tamei. So up front, when the mate passes away, and you have many options to exit from this area, all of those doorways or door frames are tamei. Niftach echad mehem, hu tamei, v'kulan teorim. He opens up one of them. Now the case is either where they're all open, or they're all closed. So if they're all closed, and he opens one of those doorways in order to take the mate out that way, for sure, that's the one that is tamei. Everything else is tahor now, because you've identified the doorway that you're going to exit through. If they are all open to start with, then the only option to is chishev lotzi be'achad mehen. He decides he wants to take it out, one of the doorways. O bechalon shishbo arba'a al arba'a. Or you have a window that is 4x4 tfachim, which is sufficient to get the maid out through it. Matzelet al kol ha'ptachim kulan. That takes care of all the other doorways, because once you've identified the doorway, whether it's in thought, you say, I'm going to take him out this way, or through a window, that tells me that that's the direction, nothing else. That only works before the deceased passed away. Then you can identify the exit, because then there's no breira. You've identified it beforehand. If you then vent it beforehand, the tuma never descends upon the other doorways because you've identified the exit. On the other hand, Beit Hillel says, even after the deceased has passed away, you can make this decision. Even after the tuma has descended on all these doorways, you can make a decision, the mafreya, retroactively make the decision and say that tuma only applies to this doorway because you're going to exit from that doorway. And all the other doorways become, or door frames become tahor. Tumar says, ha itmar ala. Wait a minute. This, when we say that it's tahor, this is talking about going forward. It's not retroactive. When Beit Hillel says, when you decide on a doorway, then that doorway is tamei, all the other doorways are fine, that's only prospectively. That's not retroactively. So then what's Beit Shammai's position? If it's prospective, why wouldn't Beit Shammai agree? Beit Shammai agreed, as it says, that chishev is not enough. It's not enough simply to think you're going to take it out that door. You must take it out that door in order to change the status. Because Beit Shammai believes once Tumah has descended, you cannot remove it, elim ken yasa matzah, unless you've done an activity to remove the Tumah from the other doorways going forward or prospectively. So Beit Hillel says makshava is enough to remove the Tumah prospectively. Beit Shammai says you can only remove the Tumah prospectively when you do it through a maase, through an action. V'chein amar Rabbi Yoshaya, v'taher et ha'ptachim mikanu l'haba. So that implies that only prospectively can you make impact, but retroactively you cannot make impact. So Rav Amar, no. He disagrees and says, even retroactively, Beit Hillel thinks that you can be mitaher those doorways. This is the reason why there's a differentiation between the case of mate and the case of the gozalot over here. That is because Dilma metautel vishavik, metautel vishavik. Kametautel mide delo chazile. Because what he's going to do, he's going to pull a bird out of the dovecote and say, eh, this isn't the one I wanted, put it back. Take out the next one, say, no, that's not fat enough, I want the next one. And he basically is going to handle all the birds to get to the right bird that he wants. Because all he said was, I'm going to take the bird out of this dovecote. So as soon as he says that, he opens up the possibility of using any of the birds in the dovecote. So So when he comes on Yom Tov to start doing it, he starts handling them one by one. He's going to be mitalto shelo litzorech, because the items that he discards, not literally, but he puts back into the dovecot, those items are mukseh. Those items were unnecessary. Where it says, v'amart be'omeid v'omer zeh v'zeh ani notel, sagyo. Wait a minute. Didn't he identify the birds? Why does that help you? Because even if he identifies the birds beforehand, he never handled them. So why aren't you going to run into this same problem when he identifies them beforehand and he's just going to go and say, you know what? I don't want these. I want the other ones. Why isn't that the same problem? Once you've not handled them, you've maybe identified them, but you haven't handled them, why does that help you out? If on Yom Tov we're worried about him starting to go through the whole dovecot to figure out which one he wants to take, why don't we say the same thing? Even when he's identified them, why don't we say the same thing? So Mar says, honey, mili me'er of Yom Tov. That already, he identified them on Erev Yom Tov. Well, Yom Tov asur. In Yom Tov, that is not permitted. The zimnin de mishtrachei shminim kechushim, or kechushim shminim. Problem is that when you are just looking from afar and you start to handle the birds on Yom Tov, those that look fat turn out to be skinny. And the ones that look skinny turn out to be fat. It's not easy to identify from afar which are which. And therefore, you're going to end up handling a lot of birds for no reason. Again, you're going to be engaged with items that are not going to be utilized on Yom Tov. Inami, zimni de mishkache gulu kuchushim. Or maybe you'll find them all to be skinny. Bishoviklu, and he said, forget it. I'm not shechting any of these. None of these are worth the effort or the meat to get them on a Yom Tov. And then you end up not having Simchat Yom Tov. Which is not true by the case where he identified them beforehand. When he identifies them beforehand, he's basically saying, I'm going to use these. And it doesn't matter. Once he says that, it means I'm using them no matter what. Whether they're skinny, whether they're fat, those are the birds that I designated, and I'm going to utilize them. So in a case, he won't stop and not have Simchat Yom Tov, because he knew ahead of time that I picked these birds, good or bad, those are the birds I'm going to use. So that's number one. And in the first case where we say he's going to handle them, once he identifies them, he's not going to handle them anymore, because he identified them on Erev Yom Tov. He identifies them on Erev Yom Tov. He just says, whatever these be, those are what I'm going to use on Yom Tov. And if he needed to handle them, he could have handled them on the spot. The fact that he didn't handle them means that he believes that those are sufficient, and he's not going to reverse his position. So that's why there's a difference between these cases, because in this case, we don't allow you to do it lemafreya because of the fear of you handling them. There's enough uncertainty here that you're going to start playing with the objects, and then you run into muksa problems. On the other hand, by the mate, once you've decided to take it out that doorway, lemafreya, that's enough. Retroactive, that's enough. Because you made your decision. You're taking the mate out that way. That's it. There's no reason for you to change your mind at that point. You know what the doorways look like. You know where you have to go. So once you've made the decision, that decision has impact retroactively. True, by the birds, it would be the same thing. Your decision would work retroactively. It would be fine. Problem is that we don't trust you. We don't trust you just to take two birds out and identify those as the ones you want. We're going to think you're going to start handling the whole dovecot in order to find the two birds that you want. And then you run into a problem because now you've handled muksa. Once you pick the two birds, I'm afraid all the other birds were muksa. And that means that you handled the other birds, which were muksa at the time. Right, it has no purpose. It's balei chayim that are not for food, not something that you've identified that you're going to utilize on Yom Tov, and they're basically it's mikatzim in adat, because they're not in your world on Yom Tov. For sure on Shabbat, of course, they're outside of your world, because there's no utility for them on Shabbat. On Yom Tov, where you can shech them, there is utility, as long as you've identified which ones you're going to use. The ones that you don't identify, those are not within your world. They're purview on Yom Tov, and they would be muksa. You have to designate them ahead of time. You can say, I can take sheep, any one of these sheep, and as soon as you identify them, the mafreya, those are the sheep that you pick. And the rest become muksa. That is possible. I'm not saying there's no muksa by the sheep, just saying that we don't worry about you changing your mind after the fact, because all the information is right in front of you. Alright, next Mishnah. Zimein shchorim umatza livanim. He prepared black birds, and he comes back and they're white birds. Livanim, on the other hand, he prepared white birds. Umatza shchorim, and now he finds black birds. Shnaim, he prepared two birds, comes back, umatza shlosha, and finds three asurim. They're all problematic because that's not what you prepared. They're muksa. Shlosha umatza shnaim. If he originally identified three birds that he was going to use, now there are only two left, mutarim. Then we assume they're mutar. We assume that the third one flew away. And what remains are the two. Toch hakein umatza lifnei hakein. If he identified birds inside of the dovecot or inside of the nest, Then he comes back and they're sitting in front of the nest or outside the dovekot. Asurim. Again, we assume that they're not the same birds that you looked at. If there's nobody else there, then they are mutar because they just walked out. They came out of the cane and that's why they're there. Where it says pshita. This entire Mishnah is obvious because everything in the Mishnah just says if it's not the same one that you prepared, it's mukset. Amarabba ochel mayaskinan kagon shizimen shorim ulevanim. That he had prepared both blackbirds and whitebirds. Vishkimu matzah shchorim b'makom levanim, ulevanim b'makom shchorim. Gets up in the morning, he sees the blackbirds where the whitebirds were, and the whitebirds where the blackbirds were. So ma'udetema, what would be our assumption? Hani inhu, ninhu, v'itabucha itabuch. That these are the same birds, they just switched locations. Mashvalon, hanach azdu li'alma, v'hani achrine ninhu. No, we assume that all the birds left, and whoever's there now are completely new birds. Lema misaile the Rabbi Chanina. Let's assume that this helps the position of Rabbi Chanina, position that's not relevant to our Gemara over here necessarily, but in other places is a situation where we have to make a decision between different halachic principles. The halachic principle of rov, that we follow the majority, and the halachic principle of karov, things that are adjacent or close by. So when you are just have one of those principles, that we have karov, I will use that as a basis for making a decision and saying the thing that makes the most sense here is the closest item. Also with rov, if I have to make sense of it, I'll say the majority is what governs over here, and that makes the most sense. What happens if those two principles come into a clash? Rov leads you to one conclusion, and karov leads you to a different conclusion. So then what do you do? Rabbi Chanina says, rov vikarov. Halech achara rov, that the rov wins in that case. Rov is the determining factor when you have a clash between rov and karov. So here, karov would be the birds that are already existing in the dovekot. So if it was up to the karov principle, I would say they just switched locations, not that we have new birds over here. And then the rov principle tells me there are many more birds in the world than those four birds that you picked beforehand, the black and the white birds. And rov says that they came from somewhere else. So now I have a clash between karov, which would tell me the birds are there, they just switched locations, and rov, which would say that these are totally new birds. And what do we say? We say they're totally new birds. That's the chiddush that Rava says, our Mishnah is telling us that these are new birds. Kadam Abaye, Gemara says, no. It's like what Abaye says, bidaf, hokanami bidaf. We're just going to see this in tomorrow's daf. We're going to see that Abaye says that there's a platform in front of the dovekot. Platform in front of the dovekot where birds from outside, even non-residents of the dovekot come and sit and perch. So there's this board where everybody perches. Those that are in the dovekot, you know, protect their space and they stay there. And the rest of the birds land on the perch, but then they leave afterwards. So now we've changed here and made a distinction between it being rov versus karov and saying now that karov is not a determining factor anymore. Because in the case of karov now, there are two karovs. Karov is those that are in the cane itself. Karov is also the birds perched on the board right in front of the dovekot. And those birds are from the outside. So karov is no longer a determining factor. Karov could be either the birds from the outside, or the karov could be the birds just swapped locations. So karov no longer is a decision point. The only thing you have left is rov. And that's why rov in this case dictates, because there is nothing else to be machria with. And there's no clash. If there's no clash, then you can't say, oh, from here you can see that rov and karov, you go after rov. In this case, it's only rov, there is no karov. Karov doesn't help you because the other birds are hanging around over there. The next piece here. Shnaimu matzah shlosha asurim. If he identified two, comes back and finds three, it's asur. When it says, manafshach. Doesn't matter what you think happened here. Iachrina ninhu. If the other two flew away, and now these are totally three new ones, then haachrina ninhu. These are new ones, and it doesn't help you. They're muksa because these aren't the ones you identified. Vilo achrina ninhu. If we just say that the two that were there originally are there, well, now you have one that joined them. And you have no idea which one's the muksa and which one is the original two, which are the original two that you had there. The question that you could ask is, batel berov. Batel berov, you have two that are good, one that is problematic, should be batel berov. So Tosafot over here gives two answers. One is that balei chayim are distinguished, and since they are identifiable and significant, there is no bitel. That goes back to what we talked about, davar shebe minyan. No, not distinguishable in that sense. Not distinguishable in being able to identify each one, but each item is significant in and of itself. Doesn't mean that you know the birds, which bird is which bird. just means that every bird has significance. It's a unique item that's sold individually, and you don't just own the... Right, exactly. The same thing, davar shebe minyan. Exactly, by the eggs. It's not that you know each egg. It just means that each egg has significance, and therefore it's not batel b'ro. The second answer that Tosfot gives is, it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. After Yom Tov, they're all going to be fine to utilize. So therefore, it's davar sheyesh lo matirin. We're going to tell you, just wait. Don't use it. In that case, there's no bitul berov. This goes back to, again, our understanding of bitul berov. And here you'd have to explain, first of all, even if you had all three of them there, you may not be able to use the third one. Even if you say batel berov, that goes back to the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah that we mentioned earlier. And then, even if we say batel berov, when you say davar sheyesh lo matirin, we opt for you to better off to do it afterwards than do it during, because there's still Isser Mi'urav Behu, the way Rashi explained it when we saw it earlier in the Masechta. So now, the next case, which is Shlosha Matzah Shnayim. You have three, and then there are two left. My time, Hane Inhu Ninhu, V'chad Minayi Wazal Yalma. These are the original ones, and one of them took off. So you have one that took flight, but the other two are there, and therefore you can utilize them. So Lema Matznit and Rabbi. Let's assume our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi, Velo Rabbanan, and not the Rabbanan. Titania, you have a Braita, nothing to do with our cases again here. This has to do with monies of Maser Sheni and monies of Chulin. Hiniach Maneh. He left 100 of Maser Sheni. Umatza Matayim comes back and finds 200 in the same place where he left 100. Chulin Umaser Sheni Mu'uravin Zebazeh Devei Rabbi. Rabbi says the original 100 is still there, and that's Maser Sheni. And on that was added another 100, which were Chulin. So now you have Chulin and Maser Sheni mixed up, because there's 100 of Maser Sheni, 100 of Chulin, and they're mixed up. Everything there is chulin, because the original 100 was taken, and the 200 now are totally new coins that are there, because a human being did this. Money doesn't walk. Money doesn't move by itself. Somebody came in here and did something. So what they did was they took the original 100 away, and now they put 200 down, because they're not going to mix up Maaser Sheni and chulin. So they clearly took away the original monies, and now put down new monies. On the other hand, if he had 200, umatzah maneh, and then afterwards he finds 100, mane munach, mane mutal devi rabbi. Rabbi again says, 100 there are the original 100, and the other 100 were taken. Again, the chachamim say everything is chulin because somebody came, took the original 200, and now replaced them with a new 100 that's there. Gemara says, afilu tabor rabbanan. We can even fit the rabbanan into our Mishnah. Hayit marla, Rabbi Yochanan verbalazar, damri tarvayu. Because we have a qualification of that Mishnah by Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, that they both agree, Shiny goes alot, hoil basuin ledadot. Birds take flight. Birds move. So the fact that birds move changes the dynamic. If I have three there, and now I find two, in all likelihood, the third one took off. And the other two are still there. On the other hand, by monies, money, again, doesn't walk by itself. That means that there was some sort of human intervention or interaction here. Since a human got involved, they probably took the original monies and replaced them. They're not going to mix up Maaser and Chulin. They're not just going to take a part of it. They took whatever was there, and then they replaced it with something else. Where it says, V'lamali lishnuye ela, why do I have to say that the answer here is, Shiny goes alo, tol v'asuin ledadot, that the problem in our case is that birds move. V'ha itmar ela, dahai. On that Mishnah, in Maaser Sheni and Chulin, we actually have a machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, what the case in that Mishnah is. And their machloket will, by itself, solve the problem. One of their opinions will not have to utilize this reasoning because their position will solve the problem, which is, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, charamar b'shnei kisin machloket. Machloket here is only when they're in two wallets or two purses. But b'kis echad, if it's in one purse, divrei hakol chulin. Everybody agrees what's there now is chulin. Charamar b'kis echad machloket, that the machloket is only by when there's one purse. But b'shnei kisin, when there are two purses there, divrei hakol maneh munach u'maneh mutal. The maneh that's there is the original one, and the one that's taken is taken. So Bishlam Alaman Damar, according to what it says, Bishnei Kisi Machloket, their Machloket is when there are two different purses, Hainu De'itztrich Lishnuye Hacha. That's why over here, you have to give a different answer, which is Shiny goes alo, Tov Asun the Dadot. The birds move. Because our case here by the birds is similar to the case of two purses. Each bird is identifiable and unique and separate. So you have three separate birds. That's similar to the case by Maaser Sheni and Chulin, where you have 200. Each 100 is its own purse. So each item is separate and distinct. Each 100 is separate and distinct. And therefore, their machloket there will be applicable over here. Why is it not applicable over here? Because the Chachamim will agree in our case that it's different because birds fly, money doesn't fly. Elo lamandavar b'kisechad machloket, According to the one who says that the case by Maiser Sheni and Chulin is when they're only found in one purse. So when they're found in one purse, we're not going to assume that the person split the money and took it out of the purse. But if they were in two different purses, then everybody agrees. Even the Chachamim agree in that case that one of the purses was taken, the other purse is what's left there, because there's no reason to believe that they have to take it all in one shot. Because it was in one purse, I say, okay, everything's gone. But if it's in two purses, he could have picked up 100 and left the other 100 there. So they would agree. Hashta lama lili shnoye ala. How come I have to answer here by gozalot? The problem is that they take flight. Hamart b'shnei kisim lo plige. In a case where they're separately identifiable, unique, then you don't have to worry about it. That's exactly what we have here by the birds. The birds are equivalent of two purses. And you told me by two purses, everybody agrees that there's no machloket. So then I wouldn't have a question about whether it's authored by Rebbe or the Rabbanan, because everybody agrees to that position. We're talking about here a case where the birds are tied together and the purses are tied together. Birds can tear themselves apart. They'll peck at the string and they will sever the string and allow themselves to move off. Kisim are inanimate objects. If there's a string on them, and they're tied together, they will remain tied together unless somebody got involved, unless a human being intervened. So therefore, we'll assume that if somebody came here and took one of the purses, the other one automatically went with it because it was tied together. So if I find one purse now, and not two purses, it means that it's a totally different purse that's here. Rabbi Amar lecha, kisim nami zimnin demitachel kitrayu. Even purses which are inanimate objects, sometimes their string can deteriorate. Disintegrate, whatever happens to it. It's in a place where the string or the rope is subject to the elements. Since it's subject to the elements, there are times where it could separate. The string could separate or not be there anymore. And if that's the case, then you're back to square one, which is what you're really talking about, two independent items or independent purses, because just like we had the birds, they could cut the string. So too by the wallets or the purses, the string could be, quote-unquote, cut, and therefore someone could interact with it by taking one and not the other. Okay, stop over here.